Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 467. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. Whatever the case may be, they're free. Some people say I should be charging money for them because they'll appreciate them more. No, you ought to appreciate them because they're absolutely free. The Lord gave me salvation absolutely free, and therefore I want to pass it along free of charge. I don't believe in charging for the gospel, and we give Bibles away to those that can't afford them, and we also give the literature that the Lord has given me, and we also give these CDs and audio tapes to those that can't afford them also. I mean, we appreciate it, and God would appreciate it, and you'll appreciate it too if you send tithes to us, because the Lord will be very good to you on the day of judgment if you ascend in tithes. It's absolutely scriptural, and so far I really haven't heard from you, my friends, and you know, I believe that I'm feeding the world the real stuff, the real Word of God, so it's scriptural for me to ask for the finances. And because you haven't said, we work for a living. We do not get any money from the government whatsoever. And we do as good as the Lord lets us do. And we could do a lot more if we had more. So if you want to be a partner with us, I hear all these people saying being a partner with us, you get the same blessing we do if you're part of this ministry. You will be blessed. We have music, we have letters, we have a strong message from the Lord in Bible reading this evening, but right now let's go. I want to go to the throne, and I pray you do as well, to ask the Lord for something. And the something that I really want the Lord to do, that I want God to do, and God wants to do it as well, He wants to anoint me. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, through my spirit, and to it's overpowering my soul and body to bring the best message that the Lord has for you this evening. Lord, the best you have tonight, Lord, because we really want people to be saved, and I know you do as well. You're the one that motivates me and tells me this is what you want throughout the entire Bible. And through your word, you are the word. And Lord, they say in these last days, I heard President Bush saying on the TV the other day that he's going to bring about peace. He wants peace so everyone can be safe. And the Bible says that when the people start preaching peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction. And we're going to read that for you later on, the people in the church. So, Father God, we are just about to the end of the line. Sudden destruction. Absolutely sudden destruction. And sudden destruction is happening all around the world today. Tsunamis and pestilence, every kind of disease, infirmity, and sickness. We see earthquakes in diverse places and wars and people and rumors of wars. Wars that are costing millions upon millions of lives. They're just going out into eternity unsaved. And we want them saved, Lord, as you do. And we pray that the message that you're going to give us this evening is going to be that will win souls and strengthen the church. And we ask it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now right here is Elvis Presley's favorite singing group, quartet, singing Walking to Jerusalem, Just Like John. And this is the Golden Gate Quartet.
Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Well, John said the city was pretty and fair.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
I won't be contented till I get there.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Well, John said the city was four square wide.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
And none could enter but the sanctified.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Well, I want to be ready. Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Well, my Lord told me what to do.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Said if you'll make one step, I'll make two.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Then my Lord up and spoke to me.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Said if you'll make two steps, I'll make three.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Well, he spoke again and his voice did roar.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Said if you'll make three steps, I'll make four.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Then I beheld Jehovah smile.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Said if you'll make four steps, I'll make five.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Gonna walk, 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 walk.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Gonna walk, walk, strut and talk.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Gonna walk, great God, sing and talk.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Gonna walk, 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 walk.
Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Just to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Well, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Walking to Jerusalem just like John. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, we're going, those of us that are born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with His Spirit, where it's just overflowing us all the time, we're going to the New Jerusalem. And we have to walk that walk. And in order to be there, we have to not just be hearers of the Word, but we must be doers of the Word, the Bible tells us. And this evening, I'd like to teach you a little Bible. And that's what vexes me so much, is there's the government, the world government is absolutely, you know, they're just taking away everything that is of any value. And I hear Christians, supposed to be Christians, and some that are, but they're naive. They haven't, they don't have a fellowship with the Lord that I do. And there's a saying that they're going right along with this government. Deuteronomy 5:17 in the Hebrew Bible says, "Thou shalt not murder." It doesn't say "thou shalt not kill," because all throughout the Bible, the Lord tells people to kill. He says to kill, go into Canaan land and kill all those reprobates in there. He said the homosexuals, and all the people that are killing their babies. Now, that's murder. And he says, thou shalt not murder. This is the Hebrew, the actual Hebrew writing. And now we go to the New Testament, and Jesus said in Matthew 19:18, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. No kind of murder. All right? So, now, what happens if a person murders somebody according to the Word of God? Leviticus 24:21 states, and he that killeth a man or murders a man, he shall be put to death. Now, it doesn't say, well, what if he's insane? No, it just says he, anybody. Anybody that murders anyone. Now, I want to teach you a little Bible here, okay?
Amen.
Because you people are teaching it all wrong. Okay?
Amen.
Now, and Jesus, and he that, this is in the book of Leviticus, this is the Old Testament, and he that killeth a man, or any mankind, that means man, woman, or whatever, he shall be put to death. Now, it doesn't allow for insanity. Amen?
Amen.
Or it doesn't allow if it's a man is 14 years old in the Bible. Now, if he murders or if a woman murders somebody or their own children, you must be put to death, all right? Now, the government is telling you something different than the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they hate the Word of God because these presidents of the United States and these generals are out murdering all kinds of people. They didn't know that they were doing anything wrong, and all of a sudden here comes a sudden destruction from some of our bombs over here. And this is why the Vatican hates, and the world government that the Vatican controls hates the Word of God, because it tells you what to do. And we put all the psychologists and the psychiatrists out of business. I mean, the Lord doesn't leave anybody open. Are you crazy enough to kill somebody or murder somebody? Then you have to be killed. Amen. All right? Now, this is just the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe God, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. And if you don't believe Jesus, then you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right?
Amen.
Now, the government's not going to change its policy. That's why God's going to throw all of them into the lake of fire. Now, you say, all Tony Alamo preaches is hate. No, I'm preaching the truth. Amen.
Amen.
This is right from the Bible. Pick up Numbers chapter 35, verses 16 through 19. And if he smite him, if a person smites somebody with an instrument of iron so that he dies, the person that does this is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. You say, well, that was a long time ago. God says his word never changes. Jesus doesn't change. The world never changes either. I mean, the actual planet itself and the sun and the moon are still the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for 7,000, going on 7,000 years. And you've got all these people with their charcoal toys and saying that they've proven that the world is millions of years old. They are liars. I believe God, okay? And if
Amen.
You don't believe God, you can't. The Bible says, believe on the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. But he that believeth shall be saved, but those of you that don't believe, you'll be damned. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. So, then it goes on to say in verse 17, and if a person smites him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die. The person that he throws the stone at will die. And if he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Now, what a shock this is to this bunch of phonies that are running this world today. You're just running it for a short period of time. You're going to be put to death. Because the world government is not putting people to death, they actually put me in prison for nothing. Railroaded me into prison for longer than they give most people when they murder somebody. Or they'll put them in an insane asylum or something, but they're not supposed to do that. The Bible says they're supposed to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say that God says, thou shalt not kill. He says right here over and over again, that you're supposed to kill the murderer. Amen?
Amen.
And all these abortionists, they are to be put to death according to God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, all these abortionists that are running according to the law or the lawless one, which is the Vatican, they want to come over here and murder me for, and they're hiring people to murder me. Amen?
Amen.
They did, people at the FBI and the BATF and the IRS, put him in prison, kill him, crucify him, slander him in the media. Now it goes on to verse 18, or if he smites him with a hand, if you punch somebody with your hand, or a hand weapon of wood, whether he may die, wherewith he may die. And if he dies, he is a murderer. You're a murderer for even hitting somebody with your fist or knocking them down, they die. You're a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Absolutely, it's a sure thing. Now, there's a lot of problems with this if you don't do it, because the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. So, in other words, if you killed somebody's son, well, it's an actual law of God for the dad or the brother or somebody to come and smite you to death. So the reason for it is coming up in just a few seconds here. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Okay? In other words, you put one of my family or anybody to death, the relative of that person is to put you to death. Because it's, now the government will say, well, you're teaching people to slay people, to take revenge. No, I'm reading what God said, okay?
Amen.
You want to receive that, you weasels out there? You're trying to say I wrote this? Read the Hebrew Bible and read King James. Now, Numbers 35:21. You read any Bible, really. Or in enmity, smite him with his hand that he die. He that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Now, Numbers 35, verses 30 and 31 and 33. Whoso killeth any person, anybody, what, a little unborn baby? Yes.
Amen.
Yes, whoso killeth any person. Now that is a person, a growing person in the womb of a woman. And you that kill people, the little babies like that, defenseless babies, are bastards according to the word of God. You're murderers, and you need to be put to death. And God's going to put you to death for permanently in the lake of fire if you don't repent. So whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Now, there's a lot of false witnesses that rose up against me in the courtroom to send me off to prison for something I didn't do. They railroaded me into prison on a false IRS charge. That's what it was. So that they can say that I'm an ex-con. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall be surely put to death. Absolute sure thing, Jesus said, okay? Jesus is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the law of God, and Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to make sure that it gets done. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land. So in other words, all these people that are getting by with murder, our land is polluted. And this land that we live in, the United States and every other land in the world, is polluted, and therefore it's cursed. It's cursed. So the blood defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So the only way that we can get the curse off of this land, or any other land, is you have to put the murderers to death. Now, this is a chilling thing for all these different presidents. Clinton boasts of how many people he's murdered. And he said he took full responsibility for all those people in Waco. And people are wondering, and also they say that he boasts of 50 different countries that he bombed a bunch of innocent children and their mothers and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers. Deuteronomy 19:9-13, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, in other words, to love the word of God, because God is the word. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't kill these people, God never said, thou shalt not kill. It says in the King James Version, but Shakespeare changed the word. That isn't the original Hebrew meaning of the word. Because people can accidentally, because the commandment is that you kill these kind of people. Amen?
Amen.
That you kill murderers. And to walk ever in the Lord's ways. Then shalt thou add the three cities more for thee besides these three, that in some that innocent blood be not shed in thy land. Now, if somebody kills somebody by and it's not murder, they don't murder him, but they kill him by accident, that doesn't you don't have to die for that. When people admit that they've murdered all these women, and then some people are put away for 27 years and for 80 years or something like that, well, the land is going to be cursed. It is cursed for it. Can't you tell? Look at New Orleans. They got buried. That's cursing. That's the Lord's cursing that land, and he's also cursing many people in this world with all these different diseases and infirmities. And the Lord states that the people that are running the government in the last days are the lawless one. This is the lawless one, the Antichrist. The Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. God gives us the land for the inheritance. And so blood be upon thee. So the blood of the people that you murder and that you allow to be murdered is upon you. And I've seen judges just all of a sudden get cancer and they die. The judge that sent U.S. Marshals into my late wife's bed in the Oral Roberts Hospital, they started dragging her out with IV. She was in a coma. And they said that they wanted her to testify in the courtroom. And she died the next day. She couldn't have possibly testified. And it took Dr. Hoag over there hours to convince that idiot judge to let her stay in the hospital. All right, so God took that judge's life. He got cancer, and I called him up and asked him if he wanted me to do anything for him or send anybody to run errands for him. He says, no, I have my own religion. I'm not going to die. And he died just a couple of weeks later. These people have harassed her so much, and other people. The Bible says Satan would wear out the saints in the last days, but they got to pay for it. Amen?
Amen.
But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, there were cities made as an escape for people that accidentally killed somebody, but this one really, he's talking about murderers here. There's murderers living all around us, folks. Amen?
Amen.
And this land is cursed. The whole world is cursed because they're following after Catholicism, Roman Catholic cultish canon law, and this is wrong. And you're all going to pay for it. The Bible says that Satan and his cult and government and media have deceived the whole world. And he has. But we're not of the world, those of us that are born again Christians. We are of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that's where I'm coming from, folks. I'm telling you really how it is. So either repent or perish. Now, you know, I'll guarantee you, if one of my kids murdered somebody and they admitted to it, I would want them to die because I don't want to be cursed, okay?
Amen.
I'm not going to protect my own people. how am I going to protect them against God? God's going to kill them and send them to hell anyway. I want to teach the kid a lesson.
Amen.
The elders of the city shall send and fetch him thence if this murderer goes into one of these places of refuge, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. In other words, that he may be killed. Now, you don't hear people preaching this. Let's hear if some of those preachers that you're paying big tithes to confirm this. Because if they don't, then you know you're going to Satan's church. Amen?
Amen.
If they don't. Okay, thine eyes shall not pity him. They don't ask you to pity. You start crying for him or something, and you're going to still be cursed. Amen?
Amen.
But thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. And if, whether it's Israel or any place else, the Bible plainly states that you have to die. But you got all these wound lickers. They love to lick the wounds as well. He had a bad childhood. Well, his grandmother kicked him in the rump. And so that's why he murdered this grandmother. He got it in for grandmothers. And, well, his mother was a prostitute. And that's why he likes to go around and kill all the prostitutes. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to preach the gospel to the prostitutes and to the grandmothers. Amen?
Amen.
So, Psalms 106:38, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. This is Canaan land. This is where it is now Israel. The Jews were to go in there and kill all these Canaanites. These were black people, because they were sinning. They were sacrificing their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. And so God said they have to be killed that have been sacrificing innocent sons and daughters like the people are doing today. So don't you think that people that are murdering little babies, that they should be killed?
Amen.
Well, they should, according to God. You believe it?
Amen.
Well, you better to believe the word of God. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast. Will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. You read it now so that people know that I'm not just making this up. This is Genesis 9:5-6. Just read that now.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man.
Now, even if a beast kills somebody, they have to be put to death.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You can't have a beast, a dog or something running around. I know that people, the government now is favoring the lives of dogs more than they are humans. Amen. Which Christ died for. He didn't die for dogs or cats or any other animal. He died for human beings. Amen?
Amen.
That were made in the likeness and image of God. Boy, you people are way off base. This is what God wants you to learn tonight. Then what?
At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man.
Yeah, but not animals. Keep going.
Ezekiel 36:18. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it.
Right, they polluted the land because they sacrificed their children unto idols. And what do you people sacrifice? Because it's your body, and so you think that you can murder without being killed? You're planning the murder of these children in your wombs. If you don't want to have children, then, put on a chastity belt or something, because you're going to die, all right? Amen. And if the government won't do it, as a matter of fact, they're endorsing it. I know some people that went in there to an abortion parlor to, you know, to beat them up or something. I don't know what. And I'm not condemned, but God says they should be killed. But the mothers and the dads are going in there and doing it. And so God is cursing those people with, we don't do that because our weapons, and we don't have a weapon to fight with if we don't keep the commandments. Because if you don't keep the commandments, you don't have the word of God to fight with. You, because God cuts you totally off from his word, and he's going to curse you, though. He's going to keep his word, no matter what you think. Okay, keep going.
Hebrews 9:22.
This is the New Testament.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
Right, so if you shed blood, then your blood has to be shed, or there's going to be curses on the United States of America and everybody else. And if I were the president of the United States, I would tell the Pope, you want to go to hell? Go to hell. But I'm going to enforce the word of God. Because I can't believe, there's no possible way that I could believe that President Bush or the administration or Clinton or any of these phonies, that they're Christians, because they're not. They're murdering people. And former President Clinton got up and said, I take full responsibility for all these people that were killed today in Waco, because he's a Catholic. And he says, I know of other cults out in Arkansas. Well, he proclaimed it with his own tongue. And his lesbian attorney general said the same thing. Janet Reno, she said, I take full responsibility. They were fighting over who's going to take the responsibility for murdering those people. They planned it. They planned it because they didn't do anything wrong. Even the sheriff said all you would have had to do is call him in. He would have come in. He was a real pleasant. David Corwidge was a real pleasant person. I don't know if he was a cult or not, but you don't murder people if they're cults. The Vatican is the biggest cult in the world, and I never plan to murder anybody that is a Catholic or Roman Catholic or any of those people. I witness and testify and try to save their souls. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But they want to burn people up. And we have tapes. You can see the way that the media, Satan's mouth, doctored those tapes up. They showed a bullet fire coming out of the window over at Waco, and it was actually, it came out because the guy that the bullet hit on his helmet knocked him out for about 3 seconds. He got up and scurried down the ladder. Three of his buddies went into the window, and he sprayed them with a machine gun, and one of them was still alive and went and shot through the wall, and it hit his buddy on his helmet and knocked him out for a little bit, and then he got up to scurry down. All those three people were murdered, and they've been blaming the people at Waco for that. They said it was friendly fire. No, the guy was paid by the government to kill those three buddies to make it look as though it were the people at Waco. It was the people at Waco that did that, and it was Corish and his quote, henchman, unquote. Okay, we have some letters here. Where's the first one from?
From Manhattan, New York.
Mm-hmm.
As always, I enjoy your method of teaching the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Israelite, Jew first, and also to the Gentile, Greek. Keep up the good work, and may God, Yahweh, greatly bless you. Pray for me also that I may continue to show forth his praise from day to day. In his service, Stephen from Manhattan, New York.
Okay, what's the next one?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear beloved Pastor Lamo, I extend my sincere greetings and salutations in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer for you is that God will keep you and bless you. In the first place, I so much appreciate the literature and the Bible you sent me, including the Messiah book. May God bless you for that. Please, beloved, the main reason of writing you this letter is that I want to tell you that your literature has changed people's lives, and this has become a great testimony for your ministry. In our community, some people worship idols, so I decided to distribute your literature to them. I have even been able to form a group to help me in distributing the literature, but we need more for our community. Pastor, our job is to do the distribution in order to spread the gospel to others. I am informing you that your literature has been winning and changing souls for Christ. Our group consists of 6, but every week we win about 2 souls for Christ. I would be grateful if your ministry could send us 2 Bibles, Messiah books, and more of your powerful evangelistic literature. May our Lord God bless you abundantly. May He grant you His divine grace and mercy as you continue to expand the Word of God to sinners. I would like to end here with much greetings to you and your ministries. Thank you in advance for not failing my request. Stay blessed and congratulations, sir. Hope to hear from you soon. Yours in the service of the Lord, Maxwell from Agona, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, praise the Lord. Looks like you got another one there.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, read.
From New York, New York. Praise the Lord, Pastor Tony. I just wanted to share with you what happened to me a couple of days ago. A woman was buying a few things from us, and we just started talking about the sad state of world affairs. I told her it was all prophesied in the Bible, and she said, "Oh, yes, I know." As we continued talking, it was evident that she was a Christian and knew the Word of God. I mentioned the great whore of the book of Revelation and how the Bible says she is situated upon 7 hills, and I asked her what city other than Rome sits on 7 hills, and the woman emphatically agreed and wondered at how few people are aware of the Vatican's wickedness and power. I then asked if she had heard of your radio show, and she beamed. "Oh, yes, I listen to him a lot. He's really good." Needless to say, the conversation took a quick turn from the evil power of the Vatican to the wonderful, marvelous power God has given you to expose it and the rest of Satan's puppets. Thank you so much, Pastor Tony, for all that you do and for allowing the Lord to work through you so mightily. Praise the Lord, Brother Dennis from New York, New York.
Well, does the Lord say, "Thou shalt not kill"?
Amen.
Amen.
No, He doesn't. Look at how you people are. Yeah, you know, I just got over that He doesn't say that. He says quite the opposite. He says kill. Amen?
Amen.
He says thou shalt do no murder. Amen?
Amen.
We had 2 people here say amen. All right, now we're going to read the 5 verses from chapter 1 of where?
Of 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel, the last 5 verses. And what is the fifth, the first verse you're going to be reading? What verse is it?
Verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 1.
2 Samuel chapter 1. This is where David is commending Jonathan and mourning, so to speak, him and Saul. Even though Saul was seeking his life to kill David, he says, "I will not." He knew that Samuel had anointed Saul to be king over Israel, and so therefore many times David could have killed him, but he said, "I will not lay one finger on God's anointed," because you just don't lay hands on God's anointed people. You do them no harm. That means absolutely no harm. And so a man came up and told him that he slew Saul because he was wounded. And David said, "You mean you murdered God's anointed?" He said, I guess you think that must please me." He said, "Because of the fact that you had the unmitigated gall," I'm paraphrasing now, "to murder God's anointed, even if he told you to murder him." He says, "You shall surely die." So he told some of his men to go and stab him to death. Put a sword through him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. "Thou shalt die." Okay? So read it. The last 5 verses of chapter 1 in 2 Samuel.
"From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives."
Now, lovely, it isn't mean, you know, like it used to be. There was a song, you know, "I may act proud, I may seem gay, It's just suppose I'm not that way. To you, my love, my life, my all, I surrender, dear. We don't use the word gay anymore, you know. Guys don't use that word anymore. I'm so happy. We say we're happy, we're joyful, but we never say we're gay. Well, back here where it says lovely, whatsoever things are lovely, yes, it was a lovely situation for two men. There's men that I have known in my life that really enhanced my life because it was through the preaching of Robert O'Gurry on the radio station from Angelus Temple that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I felt a closeness to this man because I love anyone that has the power of God enough to know what it takes in a message to get my soul closer to the Lord. I hadn't at that time had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the things that he was saying that God was talking right through him was bringing me up to one level, and then he'd pause a while for it to register in me, and then he'd bring me up to another level from the third chapter of Galatians, and he just kept lifting me up to another level. I knew this man was altogether lovely because it was the power of God. And God is absolutely lovely to give us the things that we have need of if we really desire them. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit so bad. And when I met this man, I mean, there was a kindred love for a man that has power. And he really, I could tell, he really loved me. Not the love of a woman or anything like that, because this surpasses the love of women when a man can show you the delights of the kingdom of God and to do something through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God working through them that can put you on another level, a higher level in the Lord. And so I really loved that, okay? Amen. And so a lot of homosexuals say, well, that David and Jonathan were homosexual. They're such liars. It's just unbelievable the things that people say. Of course, homosexuals don't study the Bible, and even if they did, because of the fact that they have that sin, they wouldn't be able to understand the Bible because there's a middle wall of partition that comes down between them and God. God doesn't even hear their prayers until they repent of that vile sin. And so I'm not against Catholics, or I'm not against Muslims, I'm not against anybody, or homosexuals, or anybody. I'm against the sin. God is against the sin. I'm not against murderers, but I'm telling you murderers out there that you're going to go to hell, all right? You're cursed, and you're cursing the land. And I'm angry at a government that is a lawless government. God calls the Antichrist, which is a combination of the Vatican, the world government, and all those that believe the world government and the Vatican, and all those that believe the mass media at large. God is, his wrath is filling up on a daily basis, moment by moment by moment now. He's getting so angry that he's starting to smite hundreds of thousands of people. You say, well, one minute you're saying that the government's murdering all these people, and then on the second hand, and that's wrong, and you say, no, God's murdering them. No, God is judging them, and he judges them as hopeless. They will never be saved because they never repent. And so why allow them to cumber the land? Why should he keep feeding them? There's fruit and vegetables and all the different things that people eat. And why should he allow them to breathe air any longer? And so he plainly states that he's going to kill them. They murder by believing the things of the Antichrist, the lawless one. God calls this Roman Catholic cult, the Vatican, as the false prophet, the lawless one, who rules and rides. He calls her the great whore also, and she rides on the back of the beast like you would a horse and shows it what to do and where to go. And the beast is the world government. And then we have the media. And so the Lord calls this the Antichrist, the lawless one. So keep reading.
In their death, they were not divided.
Yeah, Jonathan and Saul, the father of Jonathan, were not divided. Then what?
They were swifter than eagles.
They were swifter than eagles because they were of God. Jonathan was, but Saul turned sour on God. He got jealous of David and threw his javelin at him on several occasions, and then went hunting for him. And many times, two times specifically, that I remember, that David could have killed him right when he was sleeping. And he took his jug of water and his spear and told him, "Look, I could have killed you." He said, "But I will not smite God's anointed. I just won't do that because I don't want to be cursed. I'm not going to spill your blood." Okay, but go ahead.
They were stronger than lions.
Stronger than lions, right. Then what?
Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet.
Yeah, and there's so many people that stood up against me in court, and I clothed them for years. I mean, through the Lord, he furnished all the things. And they had the most pleasant food to eat. We have the best food that I know of. I don't know a restaurant that makes better food than we do here at the church, and we serve meals after each service. Then go ahead. And have done that for years. We serve hundreds upon hundreds of meals every day. Okay? They feed them in the morning, the afternoon, and evening. They have snacks and all kinds of things. Then what?
Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou...
Oh, it's a question. It's asking. There's an answer to the question. How have the mighty fallen in battle? Because Saul didn't keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So he allowed him to be killed, murdered. Okay, killed. Then what?
O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women.
That's right, because Jonathan saved his life by telling him that his dad was going to murder him. Michal was mocking at him because he was dancing. Because the Ark of the Testament came back and he was dancing with joy. And so there wasn't any woman that treated him that well, that saved his life and was able to communicate with him. Compared to that love there, and the love I've seen from women, the love like that is stronger, more powerful than the love of women. Okay? Mm-hmm. Really. Because a lot of women they don't pay any attention to their husbands. They wouldn't even serve them a piece of bread or give them an olive to eat, if they were hungry, unless you ordered them to do it, I'm not saying that about my wife. I mean, she fixes things for me all the time. But I'm just saying in some cases, all right? Then what?
How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?
See, because when you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, you don't have a weapon anymore. The weapon of warfare, our warfare, is the Word of God. But you cannot use that Word of God if you've sinned, because the Lord takes that weapon right out of your hand. If you say you love the Lord and you don't keep His commandments, like the people of this world are not killing people that murder. You people haven't got a leg to stand on. You don't have the sword of the word of the Lord. I'm using that sword tonight to try to bring some guilt down on your miserable, rotten heads. And if you don't follow what the Lord says that I'm telling you, this land is polluted. People say, "Well, we don't like the death sentence." Forget about what people say. It's what the Lord says, that you're going to stand judgment before the Lord, not people. repent or perish. Now, I was reading the Song of Moses that he was singing after God destroyed Egypt and killed the entire Egyptian army. And I'm going to continue with some of that because we've only got about a minute and a half to go. And I'd like to leave you with Moses rejoicing here and Miriam just praising and thanking the Lord for killing all these people that hate God and wouldn't let them worship God, just like this government. They will not allow the Bible to be taught in school. They won't allow people to worship God. So they're way worse. There was 3 million people, Jews, that they wouldn't let worship God. But look at the hundreds of millions and even billions of people that this rat-infested Vatican is stopping from learning the Bible and the commandments of the Lord, what sin is. Okay, so this government is more wicked by far than any other government that ever was on the face of this earth. And these people were saying, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them, the Hebrews. They're saying the same thing today. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Oh, no, you're not going to destroy anything. God shall destroy you. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. Moses is saying, you covered him. Father God, you covered them with the ocean, the sea rather, the Red Sea. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods, they didn't have any weapons at all, and God destroyed the entire nation from our weapon of warfare is the word of God. Amen.
Yes.
If you all pray to the Lord about this bunch of weasels, God will take care of them.
Amen.
Amen. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Who is like that? Nobody in the whole universe. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast rendered. Thou hast guided them in the strength, in thy strength, unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine, even the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty man of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. That's all the people that were of Canaan land that the Jews went in to destroy. Well, my time is up. You can see how the people of God rejoice when God makes a move. And God's on the move today. So right now, you don't want to be outside the move of God. So you can be saved. You can be forgiven. All you weasels out there can get a new spirit so that you won't be a weasel any longer. You'll be a son of God and the Lord will dwell in you. And that happens by you saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you, Father, raised him from the dead by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into me. Wash all my sins away in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. You hear every prayer of the sinner and will save everyone. That includes me. Praise the Lord. I'm saved and I thank and praise you for it. Lord, keep praising the Lord. Now share and tell him how to receive a copy of this program, number 467.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is Real Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in tomorrow again for another precious message from the Lord of God to tell you the truth, what everybody's doing wrong today. Okay, and here it is as a testimony to the time of Noah when God drowned the entire world, killed them. The Golden Gate Quartet sings, didn't it rain? Yeah, it did, and it drowned everybody.
Well, didn't it rain, children?
God's going to send those water from Zion, and he's going to raise us heaven up higher. It's going to rain, and it's going to rain, well, it's going to rain, children. God's going to send those water from Zion, and he's going to raise us heaven up higher. It's going to rain, and it's going to rain.
Well, Lord, and God got angry on his throne, and the angels in the heaven began to moan. He said, go down, angel, stir up a flood, blow out the sun, change the moon into blood. Then come back an angel and bar the door, for I declare the time will be no more. They tell me, great God, when it started to rain, the women and the children began to scream. They knocked on the windows, battered at the door, crying, oh, brother Noah, won't you take on more? Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend, but God's got the key and you can't come in.
Well, no, but the children coming in, but if only heard an angel moan, didn't it rain? God's gonna send no water from Zion, he's gonna raise the heaven up higher. It's gonna rain, and it's gonna rain.
My Lord, then it rained 40 days and nights without stopping. Noah was worried when the rain kept a dropping. He sent out a raven and sent out a dove. The water, great God, kept a coming from above. They tell me, little children, the bird did seek, but he couldn't find a land to rest his feet.
Well, no, but the worried, but the resting of his feet, but he couldn't hear the angel moan. Didn't it rain? God's gonna send no water from Zion, and he's gonna raise his heaven up higher. It's gonna rain, and it's gonna rain.
My Lord, then the wind did blow, the ship did rock. Noah couldn't find nowhere to dock. My God spoke and whispered low, showed old Noah where he wanted him to go. He said, look ahead, Noah, the rain's done stopped. I want you to land on the mountain top. He showed old Noah a rainbow sign, said it won't be rain, but fire next time.
Well, no, but fire next time. But it won't turn the angel to moan, didn't it rain? God's gonna send the water from Zion, and he's gonna raise the heaven up higher. It's gonna rain, it's gonna rain.